Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I'm going to do something a bit different on the program today. Over the past year, 2023, we've had several people go home to be with the Lord, including my brother Larry and my sister Janice. I had the privilege of speaking at my sister's Celebration of Life service in December. And I'm going to play that message that I preached that day for the benefit of those who might have had to say goodbye to a loved one over the past several months. I hope it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you as we share it with you today. So, in order to do that, I'm going to have to eliminate one of the songs that we play, so you'll understand that we'll only have one special song on the program today. Let me remind you to pray for me as I am in revival services, January 21 to 24, DeLand, Florida, Church of the Nazarene. February 11 to 14, Spencer, Indiana, again in the Church of the Nazarene, and February 16 to 18, Coleman, Alabama, also at the Church of the Nazarene. So I do covet your prayers as I travel to these locations for the purpose of revival meetings. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. I pray that you would bless everyone listening to my voice today, and I pray that the song and the sermon would be a great comfort to those who've had to bid farewell to a loved one. And we're thankful today, Father, that for those who died in the Lord, we have the hope of seeing them again. So bless the program. Provide the needs for this ministry you always have, and we thank you for the folks who help stand by and supply the needed finances for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Bless them, I pray today. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Don't forget to write to me. We need to hear from you so we can stay on your station. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. Again, thanks so much for listening, and I pray that this very special message will be of great help to those who have gone through the process of grieving and maybe still going through that process even as I speak today. May God bless you and comfort you as you listen to the remainder of this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
The dumb came and they talked. the dead left hearing his word. The blind came to see, sin's captives set free, those who remained left believing his word. Jesus is here to bless all his children, his sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul. Jesus is here to bless all his children, his sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul. His sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. One day in his 80th year, John Quincy Adams, the 6th president of the United States of America, was approached by a friend and asked, "And how is John Quincy Adams today?" The former president of the United States replied graciously, "Thank you. John Quincy Adams is well, sir. Quite well. I thank you. But the house in which he lives at present is becoming dilapidated. It is tottering upon its foundations. Time and the seasons have nearly destroyed it. Its roof is pretty well worn out. Its walls are much shattered, and it trembles with every wind. The old tenement is becoming almost inhabitable. And I think John Quincy Adams will have to move out of it soon. But he himself is quite well, sir. Quite well." And with this, the venerable statesman, leaning heavily upon his cane, moved slowly down the street. When we came together as a family for my brother Larry's memorial service in September, it was obvious that our sister, your mother, your grandmother, your friend, her house was becoming dilapidated, tottering on its foundation and becoming uninhabitable. She would soon have to move out of it. At 3:44 p.m. on Wednesday, December the 13th, 2023, Janice Marie Lohman Allman was pronounced alive. And now she is quite well. In the words of the late Dr. Billy Graham, one of my spiritual heroes, he said, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word. I shall be more alive than I am now. This can now be said of my sister, and I am thankful." During the last days of Janice's earthly existence, I was introduced to a new term for dying. We were told she is beginning to transition. I guess it was hoped that saying it that way takes away some of the pain when the person you love is facing death and will no longer be among the living. But what the world does not understand is that those of us who have placed our faith in Christ do not need the world, while they may have the best intentions, to help us process the release of someone like my sister, who has lived most all of her life loving Jesus. We don't need to be told about how to meet Jesus. All of us who are part of Janice's family appreciates every encouraging word, every kind gesture, every prayer prayed. We thank you for that, and we thank you for coming today. One of the greatest comforts and strengths that one can have in a time like this comes from the hand and heart of our loving Heavenly Father. And I want to highlight three words and consider them as we celebrate this life well lived. The first word, home. Home. This past Wednesday at 3:52 p.m., I received a text while I was driving toward my son's home in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, with my wife, Gretchen. It came from Robin. "Hey, family, Mom is home." Thoughts of home can evoke strong emotions. There's something about going home. Even after I left home, I can remember when I was an adult and I lived in another state, I would come home to our mom and dad's home in Salisbury. I loved home. Didn't want to leave home, even though I knew I had to. I used to pray that it would snow, and I'd get snowed in and wouldn't have to leave. I loved going home. If you knew home as we did, home meant a safe place. Home meant special attention. Home meant Mom's home cooking. Home was a temporary respite from the stresses of life. And when Gretchen and I would come to North Carolina, whether it was to hold a revival or to enjoy a family gathering, we would stay with Sis. She was a virtual clone of our mother. Janice was like Mom in so many ways, from the way she looked right down to how she made potato salad. Last week, when my sister could still communicate, she repeated the word to Robin and others, home. Home. At first it was thought she meant her place at the farm, but it was finally determined that what she really meant was heaven. I was sharing this with Robin the other day when I spent those last few moments of my sister's life with her before leaving, and then was told later she was home. My dad, and many of you knew my dad. My dad was a great preacher, and he would tell great stories, and I loved to tell my dad's stories. And I remember one in particular when he was pastoring Pleasant Grove Christian Church. He said one day he was there on a Sunday, and one of the ladies of the church, one of the wonderful saints of God, came by and told my dad, "Brother Loman, I want you to come to the house. I want to fix you a meal, and I want us to visit some." And my dad assured her that he would do that with her. And then some time passed, and Dad had a revival meeting scheduled, and she called and asked my dad to come and visit. And he said, "I've got to go out of town, but when I get back, we'll get together." And so he came home, and she said, "I want you to come." Well, there was a delay in his going to her place, and in the meantime, she became sick. And then one day, he got the phone call from a daughter. "We've had to put Mom in the hospital. She's not well." My dad said that he went to that hospital room to visit her one evening. The family was gathered around the bed. It was very obvious she was coming to her last hours. And he prayed with her. And then as he started to leave, she sensed that my father was going to leave. She said, "Brother Loma, do you have to leave right now?" He said, "Well, no, not really. Why?" Well, she said, "If you'll stay, they're coming. They're coming." He said, "What do you mean they're coming?" She said, "The angels. They're coming." Some of the family members thought her physical condition had affected her mental faculties. And so they just basically disregarded that. But then she called around her bed her daughters and said, "Children, serve your mother's Jesus. Be faithful." Then Dad said she called her husband to her bedside and said, called him by name and said, "Keep fighting the good fight of faith. There's a reward to be received in the end." And then my father said, she called me to her bed and said, "Son, preach the truth. Preach the rugged truth. Don't compromise. Preach it strong." And then my dad said she closed her eyes and she was home. She was home. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 tells us this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" Home. My sister knew enough about heaven to call it home. Second word, here. Here. What about us? She's gone. We're here. While we have the assurance that she is home, we are left here. Have you thought about that? You say, thought about what? The obvious. My sister, your mother, your grandmother, your friend, she's not here, but we are. Am I the only one in the room who's thought about this? And at this time of the year, Christmas, of all times, Janice, for you to have to be gone and leave us here. In God's timing, I read the following devotional yesterday. It seemed right to publicly share this with the family and with you. It's written by a lady I don't know. Her name is Alicia Searles, but perhaps her words will be helpful. As beautiful as this season is, there is also this emptiness, an uncontrollable sadness that, no matter how hard I try to push down, keeps bubbling back up to the surface. It happens at the oddest times, bringing on a sting of tears and a rush of heat throughout my body, making me want to hide or scream at the top of my lungs. Reminders of her are everywhere. Everywhere I turn, I see her. I hate it and love it at the same time. It sometimes brings on glimmers of hope and a sense of peace. Then other times it stirs within me a concoction of emotions that don't make any sense. This Christmas, as we gather around the table, we will take notice of that empty seat and try to put on a brave face. We will share stories and try to enjoy our time together, but the void will cause us to slip into different pockets of grief. This is the first Christmas without Mom. The first Christmas when her beautiful smile and contagious laughter won't fill the room. The first Christmas where we won't hear the gentle knock on the back door, only to find her juggling dishes of yummy goodness. The first Christmas where she won't be dragging in a pile of gifts to place under the tree. The first Christmas she won't be crying during the candlelight evening service, saying how beautiful it is. This Christmas will be difficult and different. If you find yourself just managing to put one foot in front of the other this Christmas, remind your wounded heart of this simple truth. As believers, we walk by faith, not by sight. In this broken world, we will see devastation all around us in the form of death, loss, suffering, war, and sin. Yet Christ tells us in John 16:33 that while we will encounter troubles in this life, we should take heart that he has overcome the world. God loves and heals and saves us from the sins of this world. If you're carrying the heavy weight of grief this holiday, lay it at Jesus' feet. Let him comfort you in the way that he only can comfort. Let him love on you. Open your heart to his love to you today. Let it prompt you to share your heart with others in due time. God's love and healing. What a lovely gift to unwrap this Christmas. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Here. Third word, hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're a people most to be pitied. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. As I noted, our older brother Larry died in August of this year. And when I spoke with Kay, Larry's wife, I said, you know, Kay, heaven's getting a lot sweeter. To which she replied, and fuller. Our family, the Allman and the Riggins families, have over the past 3 years walked this path 5 times. It is that hope that sustains us. In one of my dad's sermons, he takes the listener to the courtroom to call witnesses to prove that we can know that we have hope beyond this earthly veil. Dad would call John, Peter, and Paul to the witness stand. It would go something like this. John, can you witness to this court why we have hope beyond this veil and this life? And John would say, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, who have this hope. All who have this hope purifies themselves just as he is pure. That's enough, John. Step down. Peter, take the stand and tell this court why we have a hope beyond this veil. And Peter would say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's enough, Peter. You can step down. Paul, you take the stand. Tell this court why we have a hope beyond this veil. And Paul would say, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then Dad would say, with that proof, you can take the telescope of faith and you can declare, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We have hope. Hope that he's coming again. Hope of a new body. It's all there promised in God's word. Hope. Well, this is the reality of this moment in time. My sister, your mom, your grandmother, your friend is home. We're here. But in the midst of the realities of life, we have hope. The following was marked in Janice's Bible as her favorite scripture. Isaiah 40, verse 28 and 29. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Just imagine, my sister, your mom, your grandmother, your friend has seen the face of the creator of the universe. As my mother would say, she has outstripped us in the race.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.